Hello.
How easy it was today.
How easy is the work of the Lord?
Oh, don't get me started. I might start spoiling the episode.
I know, I was going to say, because of today's episode's theme, I'm very in my Mormon brain head, brain space. You
Oh
know what
my
I mean?
God. Yes. Me
And
too.
also, what I realized, and we'll get to the theme later, those bitches should hire me as a speechwriter. I can write a conference talk by putting a pen up my beehole and squatting over a paper. And I'm going to write a conference talk that you will think that I don't know, Thomas S. Monson himself told. Is he alive or is he dead? He's dead.
He is dead.
Hooray!
Yes.
Welcome to Hot Drinks.
He can't be alive because he's not the president of the church.
It's a podcast. About dead
basket
prophets.
Weaving.
My name is Brother Jack Coffey.
My name is Sister Latter-day Twaint.
And we're Mormons.
And we're...
I don't know.
We are so un-Mormon that our names aren't even on the records.
I know I've said this before when we start the podcast, but I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it again on another episode.
That's okay. It's been 6 years since we started it.
When I log in to get ready to start recording, and I'm in Spotify for Podcasters, sponsor us, Spotify, and I click, you know, podcast, I'm getting ready to click on new episode, and it shows me how many people have listened to the previous episode. And I feel, and every week I think, well, we've been recording weekly, so surely it's 2 million by now. It's always about 350, 400.
Listen.
So I just want to say, tell your friends. You probably have been telling them for a long time and then we never recorded.
Yeah.
So tell them again. Say, remember that podcast I told you to listen to and you subscribed to it and then they never posted a new episode in the 6 month period? Well, they're back, bitches. And better than ever.
There's an old saying that applies to this.
Oh, okay.
And that is, it's always darkest just before the morning. Something
I think
like
it's the dawn.
Oh, okay.
What in the world? I thought you were like looking for like a punchline. But no, you just forgot the saying.
I knew it. I feel the essence of
you
it.
You were close. You were close.
Yeah, and you get it. You get what I'm trying to say.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. So anyway, how are you? How's the San Francisco? How's the graduate work? What's happening?
Listen, here's what I'm going to scream from the top of my lungs, and I don't care who knows it.
Okay.
I threw my back out having some crazy sex a couple days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But I've been taking 4 ibuprofen at a time, and it's just edging me. Like, it's like kind of taking the pain away, but still there. Like, bitch, this
it's
is
it's like
on
you,
you
still want a little bit of pain, don't you, you dirty slut? Here's what I want to say about your sexual escapades without really saying anything about your sexual escapades.
Okay.
After it was over, you texted CJ and I and you said, y'all, casual sex is for the birds. I threw my back out and my pussy's throbbing. So
let me
in our next line of merch.
We're going to do earrings that have one half of that on one earring and the other half of that sentence on the other earring.
Just out of bent wire.
But listen, if I hadn't had 4 alcoholic beverages that night, which for me is like I could have died. I could have died.
Which is for me is like prepping for the forklift operator exam. And for you is like knocking on death's door.
Yes! It's just like standing on the top of the Empire State Building and looking down and going, I could just jump.
You're like, it might just end all end here.
I think that's why it was crazy. And I couldn't feel what kind of shapes I was making with my body.
You couldn't feel how sweet that pussy was being pounded.
Oh, I could feel that.
Oh, okay.
Feel that. Yeah.
I think too, you don't live in Utah. So 4 drinks. I mean, so for people who listen and who don't live in Utah. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but in Utah, when you're a bartender, we've obviously talked about this because you were a bartender. There's like, what's the device called that clips onto the bottle?
It's called the Berg, B-E-R-G.
The Berg.
Yeah.
And it's named after Dr. Francis Berg, who hated adults who like to make decisions for themselves.
He also has a great book about acting.
but basically the Berg, like, you physically cannot pour more than 1.5 ounces of alcohol.
Exactly. And also it's illegal in Utah to do a free pour without the Berg.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when I see those TikTok videos where they'll be like, who in our bar can pour a shot the closest? And it's like the manager, the maitre d', the bartender. I'm like, in Utah, no one knows how to pour a perfect shot.
Only
no
Mr. Berg. Just Mr.
Because it just goes straight through that Berg. So anyway.
Professor Berg.
So in Utah, when you get a drink from a bar, it is as tightly controlled as the sexual lives of teenage girls in this state.
Yes. So
perhaps it is as tightly controlled as trans people's access to health care. But in San Francisco.
That was good.
In San Francisco,
yeah,
all bets are off.
So 4 drinks is like 17 drinks in Utah. No, really? Honestly,
where were you drinking?
Like, three different places.
Give us a neighborhood. Knob Hill.
Knob Hill at a bar called the Summer Place,
and then we
walked down to Fisherman's Wharf to have an Irish coffee at the home of Irish coffees, which is called Buena Vista.
Wait, was the Irish coffee like invented there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good job, San Francisco. You're the center of the universe. While you were at Fisherman's Wharf, did you see Dollarita Steve?
No, I didn't go to Applebee's, which is
okay.
Looks like Rammy Umpton. It's like Applebee's and Fisherman's Wharf is like this huge, massive building.
I just assume that Dollarita Steve is always there. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's like seeing your teacher only at school. That's where she lives and sleeps. Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Dollarita Steve.
Nobody knows who Dollarita Steve is.
Summer Place, Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah. Buena Vista at Fisherman's Wharf. And then at dinner at the House of Prime Rib, which is like an old school San Francisco staple.
Hey, next time I come, I want to go there. Because you've talked about this before.
Fuck yeah, we're going. Oh my God.
I want to go.
Okay.
And I'm going to eat a whole prime rib. I don't know. Let's figure that out.
It's so cheap coming from Provo. It's so cheap.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Why don't we just end it right now and then you can hop on.
And book some tickets?
Okay. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, it's been a hell of a day.
Oh, yeah. Kid stuff, right?
It's fine. Yeah, we're better now, but I texted you and CJ earlier and said, you know, sometimes I wish I wasn't a cycle-breaking parent and that I could just rule my children through fear and terror and trust them to go no contact with me in 10 years.
Right, and then you would be living your best life.
That's what I'd be looking for. No, but I do have two things I want to share that are bringing me a bucket full of joy.
Oh!
Number one, do you remember the time you walked into my house and you said, oh my God, it smells so good in here. And I said, that's my Kacey Musgraves Boy Smells collaboration candle. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you eating?
Oh, nothing.
Are you eating those like Peruvian corn nuts from Trader Joe's?
That is exactly what I'm eating.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Okay. Anyway, Kacey Musgraves, love her. She's a sad country star, which is, you know, my favorite genre of music. Not really. And she has a song called, called Slow Burn. And she did a candle collab with a queer candle company out of California called Boy Smells that I highly recommend. Anyway, it's like my favorite candle of all time. It smells so good. Well, she just had a new album come out called Deeper Well, and she made a new candle with them called Deeper Well. Mm-hmm. And it smells so goddamn good.
Aww.
Even when it's not burning, I walk into my bedroom and I come on the floor. It smells so good. So anyway, if you want to buy a very overpriced candle that smells amazing, boysmells.com/Kacey Musgraves.
I am totally going to get one when I move out of my student housing. We can't burn candles in here.
Right. You can't really do much of anything.
No, just sleeping.
The other thing that I just want to share that gave me a chuckle today, it, and this came from Becky with a CK. She sent a text to some of us where she came across this for real. I think it was on like Facebook Marketplace or something. And you know the game Guess Who?
Yeah.
Where you have, it's like you have rows of faces and you say, does my person have, does your person, and each person chooses one of the faces. And then I'll say to you, does your person have red hair? And you'll say, yes. And then I'll eliminate everyone who doesn't have red hair, right?
Yeah,
like everyone knows how this game goes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So someone had taken that game and modified it into an LDS general conference version of that game.
Oh.
So all of the Guess Who tiles were like, the 12 and like the 70 or something.
Right. All men.
And I think their intention probably, I didn't spend a lot of time learning about them and their hopes and dreams, but I think their intention was, because you know how when you're a Mormon, you're supposed to get your small children to sit and watch conference?
Remember that?
Like you've got to plan, like you've got to plan activities and have treats and have a bingo card and whatever so that your small children will sit and listen to the counsel of old white men.
What the fuck were we doing?
I know. I mean, just that right in and of itself is a cult. But anyway, yeah, so I think this was someone's attempt to like engage the children and be like, oh, look, it's Elder Razband. You can flip him down now or whatever.
God!
But what it made me think of that I cannot stop laughing about today is what if you were really playing a Guess Who with the members of the presidency of the church, like the quorum of the 12, the 70 or whatever, you would be like, does he have white hair? Yes. And then you couldn't eliminate anyone.
Right.
Then you'd be like, is his skin kind of puffy? Yes. Again, you could eliminate nobody.
Nobody.
Does your person believe that he talks to God? Yes.
Yes.
No. Like you would never get anywhere.
No, you know, you'd be
playing. How do you differentiate from one to the next?
Yeah.
Is your person a bigot who's never made his wife come? Yes. And then you're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then that's you go, dropping kids, in our merch store soon is the Mormon Prophet's Guess Who.
I was just going to say, that's when you tell the kids, you know what? Fuck it. Just go play outside.
Yeah. You're like, just like we blessedly got to stay home from church for a day. And I have to sit and beg you to sit here in front of these droning voices on the TV. God, Mormonism is torture.
It is. And they don't.
It's just torture day in, day out.
And exactly. Because they don't want us to ever forget. This is why we have midweek activities. This is why we have Sunday night firesides. This is why we have seminary. High schoolers go to seminary every day, you know. And then family home evening. I mean, I could go on.
Anyway, that's what's going on in my life. Do you have anything else you would like to share with the gentlefolk?
Let's see. What's the 8th of April on the 22nd. What?
I'm like, if you don't have anything, you don't have to riff. You don't have to just like come up with stuff on the fly.
April, tomorrow's April 9th. And that reminds me of April 9th, 1993. What I was just going to say is this month, Lil Twain, my oldest child, turns 26,
right,
which is crazy because I'm only 39.
When I woke up this morning, I thought, I need to text Sister Twain and find out how old her oldest child is, because I've forgotten.
Really?
So thank you. I'm glad to know that.
Shut up.
I did want to say, just so you can stop riffing, I've mentioned our merch store a few times. We sell merch. Go to our Instagram, which is Hot Drinks, and you can click on the link in the bio. And I want to share, I did share this previously, but we have upgraded the merch a little bit. We got some higher quality t-shirts. And so I actually ordered some of the merch and it arrived today. And it's a fucking delight.
Good.
I got the Gentle Listener t-shirt, very soft and comfy. I might wear it to work tomorrow. I did notice that I didn't quite center the graphic properly. So the bottom of the L in Listener cuts off a little bit. So I'm going to fix that tonight. I also bought the All Your Husbands Are Gay t-shirt because no one's bought it. And it's my favorite thing I've ever created, greater than my children. And I don't know when I'm going to wear that. I don't feel like I can wear that to work, but maybe like to a Sunday dinner at my mom's or something.
Yes.
And then I ordered the spit in my mouth boxer briefs, which look quite comfy. Like I thought they would be really shit, like low quality. They look quite nice.
Oh, I'm so glad. I know you occasionally have to go to Provo because your mom lives there and
I signed a contract with the devil, right?
And your siblings, but every time you go, you should wear that shirt. Every single fucking time you should wear the All Your Husbands.
That's a great point. I should like keep it in my car. So if I'm going to Provo and I have not put on that shirt, I can just change.
There you
go. And then I can just walk down Center Street with a shirt on that says all your husbands are gay. And all these couples will walk past me.
Hello.
And the husbands will feel a burning in their face. And they'll be like, he knows. And I'll be like, yeah, I do know, bitch.
Oh, you're back. Are you back?
Wait, did I disappear?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. And I don't know if that was the gentle listeners.
Well, I could hear me.
Okay.
I do want to say we did a hint. We did allude possibly because I mentioned I'd ordered some merch that I might post a photo of me in the spit in my mouth briefs for our patrons.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to say what a bad idea I think that is. These people are paying money because they love us and they support us and they are hoping for bonus episodes, which they don't get.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're like, you know what? You don't get bonus episodes. You know what you do get? Here's a 46-year-old man in his underwear. Nobody needs that.
I think it would be delightful, actually.
Okay, well, I'm going to hire a boudoir photographer to get the
shot. Oh, right. There you go. Oh, my God. Right. That would be the most incredible photo shoot.
Just me, my spit-in-your-mouth briefs, and my beehole with the boudoir photographer.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so should we tell the gentle listeners what we're here to talk about today?
Yes. So.
So what happened this weekend? Anything important?
Nothing important whatsoever. But what did happen was the worldwide general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I will say, the further I get away from the church, the less I hear about general conference.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is so delightful.
It is so fucking great.
I just feel like I'm a little bit more removed from some eczema spaces. And listen, I get it. When you're fresh coming out, like, and you kind of need to, like, work through that shit. So I'm not judging anyone who's still following along.
Yeah.
But I just think there will come a time in your life where you can breathe a sigh of relief and you'll be like, oh, it's conference? I had no idea.
Right.
Like, I kept seeing TikToks. I follow a few, like, ex-Mormon TikTok accounts, and I kept seeing TikToks that would be like, here's my recap of the Sunday afternoon session. And this would be from ex-Mormon, so presumably the content would be things I would be interested in hearing, and I'd be like, nope, scroll right along.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's delightful.
What do you think that means for, like, 10 years from now? It's like we will...
I don't know. I feel like if... I don't know. Like, I'm still in Utah, so, like, the actions of the church still have a direct impact on my life, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe if I left Utah, but then I still feel like it's still, like, I still have family in the church, so I don't know that I'll ever be totally free, that I ever can just be like, well, that was a crazy cult I was in my 20s and 30s, you know?
Sure. But... No, I know. Okay, so quick question before we take a break, which was just for us. Do you see yourself, once your kids are on their own and doing okay, ever leaving Utah?
You can't bring that up because literally this is something I'm discussing with my therapist.
So for legal purposes, we can't talk about
it. For legal purposes, Me thinking about my future or having any sort of future plans makes me want to throw up in my boot. So if someone says, where do you see yourself in 10 years? All I think is dead. That I just think I will cease to exist. So I don't know. I can't even talk about it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's some trauma. We're starting EMDR this week. It's fine.
Okay.
So what we decided to talk about, and we're going to try a little convention that we have not tested technologically, so it may not go very well. But, you know, the Mormons... Oh, wait. Are you still there?
I'm here.
I like knocked, we're so fancy, we record with our phones and tripods now, and I knocked my tripod over.
I'm still here. I'm a little bit queer.
Of course the Mormons talked about a whole bunch of bullshit, and of course they spent some really, you know, some dedicated time talking about the human rights violations going on in Gaza, talking about income inequality and how difficult it is. The Church of Christ did not talk about any of those things. They talked about the underwear you wear and how important it is to wear it. And it was our, what's her name, sister? R. Stephen Dennis? I don't
know. J. Annette Dennis.
She spoke about how important it is for sisters to wear their garments.
Right. She is the one who said a few weeks ago that she can't think of any other religion on the face of the earth where women have as much power as they do in the Mormon church.
So same woman. Really on her greatest hits tour right now. All the power, ladies.
She's in her prime.
Wear these underwear that repress your sexuality and your knowledge of your own body. She's knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
So did you want to say anything about her talk, or is that going to come up in your...
Let's say it after the break.
Okay, so what we wanted to do is the top five things we expect Sister Dennis to talk about next.
Yes.
But what we're gonna do to make it extra special, because when you did an impression of Sister Dennis before talking about how powerful women in the church are, you nailed it. Like, doing the kind of over the top stereotypical, like, brothers and sisters. But you did, like, you had the, what do they call that voice? The pleading whimper, the pleading.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh.
You nailed it.
I forget what I called it.
So you're going to share your number one, things you expect Sister Dennis's next talk to be about. And then when I'm ready to share my number one, I have written my top five in the voice of Sister Dennis. So I sound like Carol Channing in that in that Alice in Wonderland movie where she goes, raspberries.
Yes. Oh my god.
Anyway, so before I do my number one, I'm gonna text you, and you have not seen my top five, so I will text you the words of my top five.
The words
and
of your mouth.
Read it. You will read it in the voice of Sister Dennis, and then I'll explain it.
Oh my god, I'm so fucking excited!
And okay. Again, we have not done any sort of technological testing on this. Like, can you switch from the Anchor app to the Messages app back to the Anchor app? We don't know.
It's gonna be wild.
We have no idea. So, should we take a break? Do you have anything else to say?
No. Just gonna take a little pee break, and then we'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters. We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it. Hot
drinks.
Hot
drinks.
So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe.
Here we go.
You know what I almost did?
What?
Instead of inviting you to join the podcast, I almost invited Tisha, my ex-wife, and my daughter. Because we have a group text where we text each other every day, like how we did on the Wordle and connections and stuff. So I almost clicked on the wrong one.
Oh my gosh. You and your daughter and Tisha?
Yeah.
I love that. Me
you know
and
who's
my
great
girls.
At the Wordle? Tisha and my daughter. You know who's not? Me.
You know
who's great at connections? Me.
You.
I'm so fucking good at it.
Me and my daughters text about this a lot too.
Okay, I'm going to start texting you. I didn't know you did these, the New York Times.
I did over the winter break with my girls.
And you're still doing them daily? Because I'm going to start texting you daily, my Wordle score.
Motherfucking daily, motherfucker.
Let's get it, bitch.
Let's. I can't wait.
And then I also just want to say really quickly, I don't usually listen to the episodes once we record them because I'm ashamed. But lately I have been, and I just want to give a little shout out to Madam Mandit / Mindy Glett Hill. That intro, the part where I go, hot drink.
It's, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
Deserves an Emmy or it's, I don't know. What's like a podcast award?
Oh, the potty.
Deserves a potty. Thanks, Madam Mandit.
Thanks, Madam.
Okay, so are you ready? Should we talk about what Sister Dennis is going to talk about next?
So, yes. So we all know what she said a few weeks ago about women having power in the church, which is just like a big old, I'm doing the jack off thing.
Yeah, tell me you've never learned anything about a world religion without telling me you've never learned anything about a world religion. She's like, Mormons have the most power because that's what the brethren told me was true. She's never actually looked at a world religion.
Right. And neither is Carol Channing. So,
raspberry.
But
listen, the chokehold that creepy Alice in Wonderland with Carol Channing had on me as a child.
Right.
That's gay rights. Okay. What's your number one?
Okay. Wait. This last weekend at General Conference, which, you know, was just yesterday and the day before.
Right.
She gave a talk about, they're doubling down on the garments. So it wasn't just her.
Right.
But apparently there are some bad Mormons out there who still write their tithing checks, but maybe don't wear their garments.
Oh, shoot. Well,
we
are controlling your finances, which we appreciate, but we would also like to control your bodies and your sexuality. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So she said, and I listened to her full talk in preparation for this episode. Yes, I did.
We need 12 new Patreon subscribers just because of that.
Again, my Venmo.
The social and emotional costs.
Again, my Venmo is Ashley - Wilkinson. So she said, the whole talk was about the symbolism of garments. She first gave a little cute little metaphorical story about her son and symbolism. And
his underwear? She was talking about her son and his underwear?
No.
Okay.
But she started off easing us into the whole symbolism theme.
We bought in. We were like, we're in, Sister Janice. Then she was like, bitch, we're talking about underwear.
Anyway, she said, for all intents and purposes, that wearing the garments is putting on the Savior.
Oh, right. It's like Jesus coming all over you.
Right. Yeah. And
not coming C-U-M-M. I don't mean that vulgarly. I mean, he's like coming C-O-M-I-N-G all over you.
Right.
Right. Right. That's what she meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's our choice to put it on, to put on the Savior every day. And when we have a covenantal or covenant.
That's not a word.
No, she said something like covenantal or covenantal.
Listen, I'm sure they made up a word. I'm sure they did. They made up an entire
and
Godhead that told Joseph Smith to have sex with 14-year-olds. Of course they made up a word.
Of course they did.
And covenantal. Twice
within this 11-minute talk, she referenced two Hebrew words. Which means, which means that it's all true, you know. That's why they do that. Okay, so
wait, I just want to say really quick about the Hebrew words.
Oh, okay.
If you spend 4 to 6 minutes researching, like the work of biblical scholars, the entirety of Mormonism falls apart completely. And not even like fringe or like, oh, some people think it's like, no, there's definitive biblical scholarship that's like, well, Moses never existed. We know that for a fact. Like, these gospels were written by groups of people. There was no one named Peter, James, and John, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like undisputed fact amongst biblical scholars, and the Mormons are just so fucking dumb marching around being like, and then Peter said, we will go down. There was no Peter, bitch!
There was no Peter, and there was no going down.
Anyway, I don't know.
None of that. All right, so mine are written like the first part of one of her talks.
Okay.
So,
all right, I'm sitting down. I'm in the conference center.
In Salt Lake
City.
I'm a
lady. I'm a beautiful lady in a in a beautiful dress with a kind of a white, it's like a red dress, and then I have like a white square bib over my bosom, and I sit down to hear the words of Sister Dianis.
Halloween. I have wonderful memories with my 5 children. We love to put on costumes themed to a certain fairy tale or G or PG rated movie that was a family favorite. One year.
I'm dead.
I haven't even gotten to the point.
Keep going. Don't break. Don't break. Don't break. You have a master's degree in acting. Don't break.
1 year, we all dressed up as characters from the 1984 classic Ghostbusters. My oldest, Janine, turned to me and said, "Wait a second. Do you think Ghost celebrates Halloween?" I laughed on the inside, and we went on our merry way trick-or-treating. I've thought about this personal anecdote every year since, and have always imagined, metaphorically, putting on the costume of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? You can't tell when I do that by my outward appearance, but I'd like to think you can tell by how you feel when you're near me.
And is that the end?
That's the end.
Oh my God. Sign your master's degree now.
Sign it
over.
That's how you get to sign it.
Jesus. Jesus Lord. That. It's like we said, we're in the Mormon shuk right now. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the Mormon gut right now.
Right. And I think the name of this talk would be Spiritual Costume.
I'm not going to make it through.
Okay. Can I make you laugh?
That was so good.
I know I'm funny.
That was,
I make you laugh.
That was so good.
Thank you. I'm kind of getting into the voice. It'll improve as I go along. But
I don't have any follow-ups. Do you have follow-ups? Do you want to share more about that talk?
No, on this one, not yet. Not yet.
The cheese stands alone.
We'll do a follow-up episode, a part two of this, where we go.
I just mean, like, do you have anything to say about why she's talking about this topic? Because all of mine are sort of like, here's the funny thing she said, here's why I think she would say it. But you just wrote a brilliant script about spiritual costumes. And say spiritual costumes, but do the glottal stop in spiritual that Mormons do.
Spiritual costumes.
Okay.
Spiritual. Yeah. Spiritual costumes.
This is like truly your greatest work.
As I was looking at my two oldest, Janine and Max, in their ghost.
Are those really our children's names?
No. In their ghost busting costumes in our neighborhood in South Jordan. I thought to myself, I imagine that the Holy Ghost would envelop them in an invisible costume because I choose to keep my covenantal promises. Okay, that's all.
Oh my God. I'm gonna come out of this episode with abs. I'm laughing so hard that I will have a six pack when this episode ends. Okay.
Okay, so you have to text me.
I know. This is really gonna test your mettle.
Yeah.
M-E-T-T-L-E.
Yeah.
As a master's level actress.
I'm so excited. Okay.
Because you're just getting these blind and you gotta perform.
I'm getting them blind. You don't know what's coming. This is exciting. We need to do more of this.
Also, perhaps the podcast will crash and we won't be able to reconnect.
Well,
So I just want to say, if that happens, if the podcast crashes and we cannot reconnect, thank you, Jesus, for that talk about spiritual costumes.
Okay.
Because it has been a balm of Gilead to my soul.
And your covenantal thing. I've got my text app open right now, so it should be fine.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
When you get it, just start reading.
Sisters, I am here to beseech you to turn away from wickedness and no longer watch Bridgerton. We must keep our minds pure and not lust after Jonathan Bailey, who is gay.
He is gay, ladies.
Yeah, he's gay. He doesn't want us lusting after anybody gay.
No, and I feel like this is such a letdown after spiritual costume, but it does pose a genuine question. So Jonathan Bailey, you know him and love him as that twink from Fellow Travelers.
God. And Bridgerton.
But he's also the heterosexual love interest in Bridgerton, right? I've never watched Bridgerton.
In season two, he's the main love interest. He is in season right. one, but he's the brother.
So I know the Bridgerton girlies are like fanning their hush because Jonathan Bailey's so hot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel a little possessive. I'm like, no, ladies, he's ours.
Yeah,
he belongs to us.
I know. Yeah.
But,
and then he's going to be in Wicked as Fiyero, who's a straight character.
I don't know anything about Wicked, which is weird because I'm gay.
Oh my God.
Listen, it's a whole other podcast.
Okay.
But listen, I lust after straight, you know, I lust after Henry Cavill, and he's as straight as the straights can come, you know?
He's like a himbo to the teeth.
He's like a himbo Warhammer playing, CrossFit doing. Like, if you worked with Henry Cavill, if he wasn't that beautiful, you'd be like, God, this guy's insufferable.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. And if he didn't have an English accent, you'd see right through it.
So I'm posing the question. When the straights love the gays, like when straight girls are like, Pedro Pascal, I'm like, bitch, he's one of us.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Matt Bomer.
But when the gays are like, Henry Cavill, ha ha, ha ha, ha. What are the straights thinking?
What is what thinking?
What are the straights thinking when the gays are like, hey, Henry Cavill, ha ha, ha ha.
That's
us squeezing his boobies. Well, or like his boobies.
Oh, and not his ball sack.
Anyway, that's the question I wanted to pose with this first talk.
The straights just are like, yes, and then high five you or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're all in this together.
The straights are fine with sharing, but the gays should not be because
we have fewer choices.
I mean, not that much fewer, if you know what I mean.
We threw a brick at Stonewall. You know what I mean? All right, what's your number two?
Indeed. Okay, my number two. Okay.
I'm so excited.
I didn't realize this
episode was going to be this good.
I'm trying to save my best for last. So,
okay.
You know, I'm going in order of how funny I think they are. Okay. I don't know of any other church on the face of the earth that grants so much freedom to women other than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For example, I don't have any thoughts of my own. And I find my heart fill with gratitude at how freeing that truly is. If I find myself randomly and unexpectedly having independent thought, I am putting on the dark and binding cloak of the adversary. So I say a quick prayer asking forgiveness, sing a hymn, and then take 4 SSRI uptake inhibitors that I mix with an egg yolk because the Savior's yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Oh my God. This was your true calling.
I went to this hole in the wall place to grab a sandwich for dinner 30 minutes before we were supposed to start recording. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say.
What I also love is that you texted me and you were like, you got to like, help me out. Give me some framework. Like, what are your answers looking like? I'm lost.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fuck, here we go.
And you told me the Jonathan Bailey one.
I did. That one was a gimme. His yoke is light.
I mixed the SSRI uptake inhibitor medication.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's so good. I am like, is this the most boring episode ever where you say something really funny and then I just talk about how amazing it was? No, like, I don't know.
I don't care if it's boring because I'm feeling really good about myself.
Do you have anything? Do you want to add things about that talk? Like why you chose it?
The two times now that I've had to watch her in preparation to record this fucking podcast.
No, I'm so sorry. We need to do an episode about porn so you can like watch porn in preparation.
Sign me up. But both times that I've watched her, I just see like her eyes are just dead. It's just deadness
dead.
In his eyes.
Just dead inside.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what else is dead? Her makeup.
because she doesn't wear any.
I don't want to be a stereotypical gay, but lady, that face is not beat. No, no. And I don't want to judge people for their looks. I don't want to be that person. That's terrible. But she looks terrible.
But, I mean, let's talk about the symptoms of not having independent thought. You know, looking like that.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking of not wanting to judge people, do you remember last week when I brought up Hillary Duff canceling homophobia by telling those girls not to say that's okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, the girl really was wearing a skirt as a top. And you said, that's gay. That's
so gay.
I was in the Target listening. Again, I don't always re-listen, but I was listening. I was in the Target re-listening. And when you said, that's pretty gay, I was like, I just, headphones in, you know, walking past, you know, the Studio McGee latest selections. And I was like, and I snorted and made the most horrible noise. Anyway.
Studio McGee. Oh, there's some parts.
It was pretty funny.
Some sections of Target I can't go into anymore. Okay.
Are you ready for my number two?
I'm so ready. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Sending now.
Okay. Oh, this must be for priesthood conference. The priesthood session.
Yeah, this is like she's maybe, I mean, she wouldn't be speaking at priesthood. We're not going to let like a woman into speaking.
Oh, okay. So she's a general conference, but specifically.
Or like a fireside. Maybe it's a fireside because like fair. We can let women speak. We can let women talk to men at like a fireside.
All day long.
But like not at like an official meeting. Right. This is like a, or maybe this is like a BYU devotional. Okay. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Well, no, because they're not married. It's a fireside.
Okay.
It's a fireside in the like Bountiful 7th Ward, Screaming Children from Hell, Pineview 4th Ward. Go ahead.
Okay. Brothers in Zion, every day you must tell your special bride how pretty she is. Sistren, you must be pretty. If your husband's priesthood becomes soft during celestial bedroom time, you are not pretty enough. Perfect. I started to cry because you gave me stage directions. You put tears.
I know, perfect. First of all, you nailed Sistren. I really wanted you to deliver Sistren, and you did. You didn't think it was a typo. And second of all, you really delivered the tears.
And of course you would cry, because if we are not pretty enough, we're not doing our duty.
No, and we're breaking God's heart.
Yeah.
Because what he cares about, Sistren, is that you're pretty.
Yeah.
Anyway, my number two is really just a plug for our merch. You can get a t-shirt that says all your husbands are gay. If you recall from several episodes ago where we talked about signs to know that you're in a mixed orientation marriage, one of the things that you said that was just like, I wish I knew sports metaphor, but this was like a slam dunk through the field goal. We were talking about signs you know your husband is gay, and you said if he thinks you're pretty,
if he tells you you're pretty. Yep.
And like that,
run.
Like the
gotta
no
run.
Truthier truth has ever been spoken.
It's the yes.
So anyway, so hotdrinks.com/Instagram. Wait, Instagram.com/hotdrinks. Click on the link in bio. Buy a t-shirt that says all your husbands are gay. Wear it to your Mormon gathering, and let's see what questions pop up.
Right.
What's your number three?
All right. My number three is.
Oh, God. Okay. Deep breath.
All right. This one's a little shorter. Much shorter, actually. Okay. All right. Married couples, I want to admonish you.
Admonish.
If you kiss your spouse using your tongue, it is indicative of the tongue of the serpent who beguiled our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Just that.
I'm like in the background, like whimpering and laughing like a person being tortured.
Like they gave you laughing gas and they're pulling your fingernails out.
It is indicative.
Indicative.
This reminds me of a song. Oh, shit. I shouldn't have brought this up because I'm not going to be able to find it fast enough. Let's keep going. What do you want to say? Okay. What do you want to say about that?
And let's say, okay, this is totally off the cuff. She's giving the talk at a special state conference in Salt Lake. Like sometimes you get lucky and one of the generals, meaning in the general, one of the general presidencies,
one of the generals in the war on porn.
On MeUndies.
Listen, I want to say, so I've been using an app lately to help me kind of manage my drinking a little bit better and be a little bit more mindful about it, a little more planful.
Okay.
And when the app is like, you should have one drink on Monday, I'm like, bitch, I'm gonna have seven drinks on Monday. So we can shorten Thursday, we can shorten Wednesday.
But Monday
I'm gonna have some drinks.
Okay. So if she's giving a special talk for just the sisters in a stake, and she says this about tongue kissing, and which I don't really call tongue kissing, it's French kissing, you know. I live in the real world, and so
but Mormons don't use real terminology.
No, they're children, and there's a sister who raises her hand. She's like that one who's like maybe 30.
Right.
Cut is like one side's longer than the other side.
She's kind of progressive.
Yeah, she might have a streak of blue through it.
Like she's seen an R-rated movie.
Right, but you can still see she's wearing her garments underneath.
Right, and the R-rated movie she saw was Air Force One, which she just thought was delightful.
And so
she loves America. So you don't know, you don't know where she's going to land.
Yeah, we just never know. And so she raises her hand. And you know, the local leadership of the wards are sitting in the back going, oh no.
Oh no, Sister Air Force One. She's got her hand up.
And she was like, and she says something like, Sister Dennis, what I do with my husband as a married woman is my business, and I have prayed about this, and Heavenly Father says that, told me that this is fine.
I put the serpent's tongue in his beehole. Sister Dennis.
Oh my God. I might go back to church just to say something like that in any random meeting.
Just to say, here comes the serpent's tongue. Pull your garment bottoms down. That's a throwback to our longtime fans.
Yeah. And then Sister Dennis would reply, much like your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with your husband is truly personal. But remember, your marriage is covenantal is a temple covenantal sealing. And that means that Jesus Christ is part of that marriage. So the next time you want to kiss your husband and use your tongue, I admonish you to think, what if I was kissing the Savior with that tongue?
I laughed so hard during that when I gave birth to a baby. And then aborted it because I'm liberal. All right, okay. Are you ready? My number three is kind of long. Are you ready? Take a breath. Lubricate. Drink some water.
Okay.
Drink some water. Lubricate. You ready?
Oh my God. Yes, I'm sorry.
Coming now. That's what she said.
He said.
Or he said, because I'm gay.
Right. Okay. Okay. Sister missionaries, I honor and cherish as you dedicate this time to serving the Lord. When you kneel across from the most sacred altar in our Father's holy house and look into the eyes of your sweet priesthood holder, Son of God, he will not honor you or even respect you more because you served a mission. In fact, he will not respect you at all. The only opinions he'll care about are the opinions of men. The only people who admiration he will care about are the admirations of men and the fact that you are a beautiful daughter of God. Just serves to make him look better in the eyes of men. In fact, he doesn't really care about women at all. And as you gaze across the altar and make those holy covenants, you will be submitting to his patriarchy the way God always wanted you to. And your subservience to him will make men happy, which was the whole point.
Listen.
All right, talk to me about this one.
This is something that I've been thinking about and talking about a lot with you, with CJ, and with friends. But, like, straight men don't love women.
Oh, yeah. All right. This is
they really love other men.
Okay, yeah.
They don't care about the opinions of women. They don't care about the respect of women. They don't care about the admiration of women. They just care about the respect, opinions, and admiration of men.
Right.
They like to have sex with straight women because that is a tool to help them gain the admiration of other men.
Right.
Yep. Look at what I was able to bag on the deer hunt.
Oh, you know what I mean? God. Yes. Romantically, they would prefer men. They won't admit it. They'll go to their grave not admitting it.
They don't. No. But like, they get a boner when other men love and respect them.
Yeah.
And they don't care one whit. What women think of them.
Not at all. They do not.
So anyway, Sister Deaness just wanted the sisters to understand that.
And for those of you out, those women out there thinking, oh, my husband really does love me, though.
No.
Straight men are really good at pretending that they love you, respect you, are listening to you, are equals with you so they can get that coochie.
And they want that coochie to say to other men, I got that coochie.
Yeah.
They don't want that coochie in and of itself. They want that coochie to say to their bros, look at the coochie I landed. Anyway, men hate women.
It's like a conqueror.
What's your number four?
Divine and conqueror. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Which one do I want to do first? Because I've got two more.
That's how it works. When you have a top five, then you've done three.
Yes.
The one you have left is you have two more left when you get to that point.
Yes, that's beautiful. Okay. Arousal, even when felt during the sacred act of procreation,
to bring
forth Heavenly Father's spirit children into physical bodies, is unholy in the eyes of the Lord. Save this sacred, godlike act for times when you are in the mindset of building up the kingdom of God on earth. For example, when your wife is doing the dishes or folding laundry.
Wait, when your wife, is she speaking to the brethren?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, did I not? Yeah. So she's telling the brethren, probably at that same.
Right, at that fireside.
It's a fireside.
In the pits of screaming children, Pine View, 7th Ward.
Right. After she's told the women to be really pretty and desirable looking, she tells them that arousal's bad.
Right.
And that they should only have sexual intercourse for procreation and to keep from the temptation of feeling arousal, the husband should just bend his wife over when she's folding laundry, and she keeps folding laundry during it.
Yeah, she's not gonna stop.
No,
the peaches have to be canned,
Then if she stops, she might start thinking about being fucked and enjoying it. But
if she's
doing the dishes now, if there's a height discrepancy with that, so because she's standing doing the dishes,
right, and he's a little taller,
yeah,
she's got her elbows at the bottom of the sink, maybe. in the water, in the soapy water.
Yeah. We can put somebody on a stool. Oh, I was going to say maybe stand on a phone book, but that's not a thing anymore.
No, we don't have those.
Okay. Am I going to read your next one?
Yes. Let's.
Okay. Hello?
I just want to clap for number four. Okay. All right. I'm going to send you my number four, which is as funny as your number four. Here it comes.
Okay. All right. Sisters, do you remember when we could buy white ankle length socks that had little colored pom-poms on the back? Or sometimes there was a little bow, or maybe a leaf pattern stitched around the hem. I am grateful to be a woman, as the poets say. Man, I feel like a woman. Oh my God, as the poets say.
The poets are Shania Twain, in case you didn't catch that reference.
They're always quoting Shakespeare.
As the poets say.
Or C.S. Lewis.
The message I wanted to send with this one is, like, we live in a world where in the country we live in the United States of America, none of us can afford to live or pay our bills. In a larger global sense, like, we are witnessing a genocide occurring before our eyes.
Yeah.
And the thing that the Mormon leadership is like, please, this is where we got to dial down. This is where we got to twist the titty. Is what underwear are people wearing?
Yep.
So this was my homage to, like, is there anything more empty or vacuous or simple that vacuous. We can talk about than socks with a pom-pom on the back of them? No, there's not. So that's what you should preach about.
Okay.
What's your number five?
All right. To the sisters.
Hot drinks.
To the married sisters. As you prepare to be entered by your husband's penis, think of the penetration as symbolic of the Savior's death and resurrection. Let me explain.
Let me explain.
As he undulates, moving in and out and back and forth, it's symbolic of the sacred events of death and resurrection happening repeatedly for a short period of time. Then, at your husband's
You said your husband's and then it shut off.
Okay, because I got a phone call, but okay. Then, at your husband's completion, his ejaculate is representative of the flowing forth of the kingdom of God and the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel.
I couldn't even follow that. I just was laughing at ejaculate, at the flowing, at his completion. Can you summarize those talking points for us?
So when your husband enters you, it's like Christ's dead body going into the tomb.
Okay.
And then, because everything is about symbolism, of course, as he's like pumping in and out, it's like death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection, until he comes.
So the pulling out is the death, and the pushing in is the resurrection.
No. The pushing in is the death, because it's going into the tomb. But then,
and then the pulling out but then is when you, the resurrection.
Right, yeah.
This is why I didn't want the people I work with to listen to this podcast.
And then when he reaches completion, and his ejaculate flows into you, but then...
Right.
And then... You know, out of you.
It goes in and then out?
Well, when you come inside of a hole, it has to come out of the hole.
Oh, it does?
It doesn't.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Does your ass absorb?
It's very dry in there. So it just, it sucks it up like a lotion.
Oh my God. Okay.
It sucks it up like a body oil. And...
Jesus, God, and Christ, and Messiah. So his ejaculate, his sacred, pure, white ejaculate is like,
right.
It's like the building of the kingdom of God, which, as we know,
right,
ends with the gathering of the tribes of Israel.
It's like a stone cut without hands.
Oh my God, brilliant. Oh, did you come up with that? I'm just kidding.
No, Joseph Smith did.
Yeah.
Here's my number five.
Okay. Good afternoon, sisters. And good afternoon, and thank you to Elder Fauntleroy for presiding over our empty-headed session today. Today, sisters, I am here to tell you a tale of warning about a mother in Zion who went into a Starbucks just to use the bathroom. And that day, all of her children died and she got ALS.
And scene.
Oh my God.
I just, like, it just makes me crazy that the Mormon leaders have this platform where they know that hundreds of thousands, nay, millions of people are listening to them. and they could talk about the human rights atrocities that are going on in Gaza. They could talk about, you know, income inequality in many countries around the world and how no one can afford to live. They could talk about the mental health crisis running rampant through the world and destroying the lives of children and teens and adults. But instead they're like, please wear these polyester underwear. So anyway, that was my hat tip to that moment where she shares a talk about the mother.
Yeah.
Who went into a Starbucks to use the restroom.
Let me try this again with a little more feeling.
And who left with ALS. Go ahead. I became Southern. I don't know why. I'm sorry. I apologize to our Southern listeners.
I am here to tell you the tale of warning about a mother in Zion who went into a Starbucks just to use the bathroom. And that day, all of her children died. And she got ALS. I mean, this reminds me of a very real story that I'm sure I've mentioned on here before that Thomas S. Monson gave maybe 2008.
Right.
Was he the prophet before? For Russell M. Nelson?
Girl, God, I don't fucking know.
No, I don't either. About a while ago when Prussia still existed and this mom, I guess her husband, the dad of this family, was fighting in the rebellion that had to do with Prussia. And
when we started recording today, I did not know we would get to the Prussian War. The Prussian War of Independence. But I'm glad we're here, frankly. I'm grateful we're here.
And she has to take all their children. She had like 27 of them. walk them across the tundra to whatever her hometown was or something because of the
Yugoslavia.
War. Okay, sure. And on this journey, one by one, her children died and she had to bury them. And literally she shows up to whatever her destination was,
Yugoslavia,
and Thomas S. Monson's point was that she showed up with her testimony of Christ intact
and a bunch of dead babies.
Oh yeah. Oh, one of them, the She had to dig her child's grave with a spoon. That's all she had.
And then she fed that child to a dog.
I don't know. That's a Meryl Streep.
No, this reminds me of when some general Relief Society presidency, I don't know, Sister Razband, I don't know, told a story about a woman who was a faithful member but drank coffee. But then for that one cup of coffee, generations of children were lost to the Lord.
Coffee, people. Coffee.
That's basically what she says, yeah.
Coffee, a drink that is healthier than 90% of what Mormons put in their body.
Right, right. Anyway, Sister Dennis has really delivered tonight. This has really been quite beautiful, quite moving.
She's got her work cut out for her.
She's written some beautiful talks.
Yeah.
That if you are humble enough, will really touch and resonate in your heart.
I will say, for any of you with the stomach for it, the little anecdote she gives at the beginning of this most recent conference.
The garment talk
is so like general conference coded. It is like the most, it's just super classic. Like when my son Jack, is her son's name, was a boy. And then, yeah, anyway, it's interesting.
And if you want to look it up, the talk is called the spirit's costume.
Spiritual costume. No, it's not talk.
Spiritual costume.
That's a hot drink trademarked phraseology.
Listen.
Okay.
Listen.
We did it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please, you can send a check to P.O. Box 11104. Boston, Mass.
If some of you are thinking, I want to support them, but I only have checks.
I only have checks. Care. Well, P.O. Box 11104, Boston, Mass. You can also go to patreon.com/hotdrinks. Perhaps you'll get a photo of me in my underwear, but it has to be next week when my children are not here, when they're at their mom's.
Right, right.
You can also buy our merch. It's so cute. I'll fix the L on Gentle Listener. Or I think that's all, right? Or you can just Venmo us money.
Always.
Is it part of our charm that we're always like, just Venmo us money? Or is that kind of annoying?
It's absolutely part of our charm. And probably the reason we are at a stagnant 334 listeners an episode.
Right.
Well,
I want to hat tip to you because you really delivered.
Did I go the extra mile? Did I put my shoulder to the wheel?
You delivered some Sister Razband, some Sister Danice that we were not prepared for. I was not prepared for.
And I'm so glad you liked them all because I thought only the funny ones were going to be the sexual ones.
No, when you, I mean, when you're on the stage for your Academy Award, I just hope, I want you to say, I want to thank Sister Dennis. Just squeeze that in. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
Hot drinks.
The Ghostbusters one with the one about the costume of the Holy Ghost, I was 3 pages long. 3 pages in a little notebook.
Like, I gave birth to an abortion during that reenactment of the costumes of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we got to wrap it up.
Okay, wrap it up.
Hotdrinks.com/Patreon. I don't know.
Nope.
Just send us money.
You all know the things. Bye.
They know the things.